Reams.com.au.
AFL Trade Exchange for Ream. Install a Ream, Australia's favourite in hot water. And Repco Authorised Service. You can rely on your local Repco Authorised Service Centre. A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles. Hey Tylers, need stock fast? Beaumont Tiles are ready to help with over 115 outlets stocked up.
This is a trade news update for Beaumont Tiles. AFL.com.au's own Josh Gablich reporting that a trade taking Bobby Hill to Collingwood is in the works. The paperwork is currently being completed. He is set to land at the Magpies in exchange for a future second round pick. GWS and Collingwood to also swap third round picks. We're wondering whether or not Bobby Hill or Blake Akers would get done first. It looks like Bobby Hill's move being done the opening move of the trade period.
He's quicker.
Yes.
He ran to the gates quicker. He's been in Melbourne recently, a fair bit as well, settled into where he wants to live and has spent a lot of time in Victoria in recent times. So Collingwood get the trade that they're interested in doing this time last year. Obviously the Bombers were his preferred destination that time around, but Collingwood did have interest in Bobby Hill. That one came up just too late for them to get done. But obviously this one a little bit easier passage this time around. And I think he'll be a good addition for them.
Yes.
I think he'll be replaced at the Giants by Toby Bedford. Now, the question to you is, do they then use the future second-round pick they've got for Bobby Hill to trade back to Melbourne for
Paul Bedford?
For Toby Bedford? Mm. Would that be a reasonable fit? So that will be interesting.
And essentially becomes a straight swap from a Giants perspective holistically.
Yes. Yes, it
does. Every trade is linked to the other, Kel.
That's right, the tree of trades. Getting a lot of questions about Jack Bowes and where he's going to head. I still think, and we've been reporting this for a while, obviously a couple of weeks ago we put on the table that pick seven was up for grabs along with Jack Bowes, that Geelong would be the front runner, but he's still got a decision to make. I don't expect a decision to be made today. So big call coming, and it's nice to be wanted, clearly.
Yes.
and he's got a few who will want him, and a few who I think will also want the pick, and he's got to sort through that mix of where he's wanted and where he sees his best footy being played. But I don't expect that call to be made today.
What are the sticking points for Jack Bowes? Why would he pick one club over another?
Well, I don't know if there's a sticking point as such, but
it's going to be he's going to do it for the betterment of his football future, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got to make a decision on where he sees the club that fits him best in terms of his position. He wants to play in the midfield. We've heard that. Mm. We know that. I expect it to be a four-year deal where not only can his money be spread, but he can also be paid, obviously, well across those 4 years. So that's clearly part of it. You're not going to be giving up any cash just because you back-ended your deal for a couple of years, because that's owed to you. That's the money that you signed on for. So he'll get that plus a proper wage for the other two seasons. And other clubs across the mix for him will be fascinated by that in terms of what that looks like, and have different approaches to that as well. But in the end, it's about, for him, where does he see his best footy being played and what's the best environment for him to play that in? So there's some good options for him, and he's got options there. So I'd expect that to come to fruition. And then I think once the club is settled, the trade should be pretty straightforward, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because we had Craig Cameron on the show last week on Trade Exchange, and he said, look, it's up to Jack, really, where he wants to go, and what can be facilitated after that should be pretty straightforward.
It's interesting. Like we just spoke to Mark McKenzie and Brady Rawlings, so we asked to describe what their pitch was. Both of them said they see midfield roles for him, and Hawthorn willing to change up the dynamic of its midfield, North Melbourne looking for extra height in its midfield and a point of difference in its midfield. It's just like, you wonder for Geelong, who already has a pretty established midfield, whether or not they think he can go in there and play a role straight away, especially if they are going to get Tanner Bruin as well as a premiership midfield. So there's just a few questions that he's going to have to wade through over the next couple of days as for his future. I mean, I think we often don't look holistically at what the we often look at each deal individually, but holistically is how clubs measure their trade period. I mean, if you are North and you are able to get Jack Bowes and whatever that potential returns they get for Jason Horne-Francis, I mean, losing a player off Jason Horne-Francis's talent is never a good thing, but you can look at it holistically and the returns they get and try and turn it into a semi-positive, can't you?
That's right.
All right, we will head out now to Marvel Stadium where Josh Gabelich is with Gold Coast's Craig Cameron.
Thank you, Riley. Yes, I'm standing here with the list manager of the Gold Coast Suns, Craig Cameron. Isaac Rankin is the big one, Craig. Has there been much movement with the Adelaide Crows so far?
We met with them today as Rudy just walks out the door, actually. So we're obviously doing nothing more today. But we met today. It's progressing okay.
Are you confident that deal will get done? It will be quite seamless in the end?
I'm confident it'll get done. We'll negotiate as hard as we need to get what we need back, but as will Adelaide, but confident it'll get done.
I'll send you back to the studio. I've got Sarah Ollie, Riley Beveridge and Cal Toomey.
No worries. Thank you.
Hey, Craig, thanks for jumping on with us on Trade Radio again. What's the latest with Jack Bowes? When do you expect a decision over the next 24 to 48 hours?
Yeah, I think he's still got a few things he needs to tick off. He may actually be visiting some facilities in the next day, so I think, we may find out tonight, but I think probably more likely Wednesday morning.
And where does that leave you in terms of the rest of your sort of week? Because obviously that's a big deal that you've got to get through. But as we were just saying, once it's settled in terms of a club, it should be pretty straightforward from your end, I imagine?
Yeah, I don't think that deal's going to hold anything else up. There may be some of our other picks or picks coming back from whichever club he chooses, that'll just be part of the negotiation. But it shouldn't hold anything else up, I wouldn't have thought.
Any latest news on Ben Long's addition to the club? Where are things at with St Kilda?
We're still negotiating with St Kilda. We met with them today. That hasn't moved very far yet, so we've got a little while to get through that.
Jeremy Sharp, we spoke to you last week and you said that you ideally wouldn't want to see him go. Has Fremantle come to you with an offer for him?
Nothing that's compelling enough at this stage, I'd have to say.
And what about Josh Corbett?
So we had a brief conversation around Josh. I think he's still got some clubs in Melbourne that he wants to meet. I think he was in Perth on the weekend. So that's got a little way to play out.
And last one before we let you go, Craig, and you know it's a busy day, so I appreciate a couple of minutes. Tom Berry's addition to the club as a small forward, do you expect that one to be played out reasonably quickly? And could that be tied up with any pick swap discussion as well with the Lions? I know the Lions are interested in what they could do with pick 15.
Yeah, we're having really fruitful discussions with the Lions. I think we'll get to a solution quickly once we press the button, if that makes sense. So there's a few things we're working out there, but that's going in the right direction.
All right, Craig, it's going to be a big 10 days for you. Appreciate you taking some time on Trade Radio.
No worries. Enjoy, guys.
It was Craig Cameron from the Suns there. What do you reckon gets an Isaac Rankin deal done, Kel?
Pick five, but also probably I'd imagine they'd be looking for a future selection, as the picks in this year's draft aren't much use to the Suns. They've already got a million of them. So I think that a future third probably. I imagine that the Chera example is pretty close to what it looks like when you're looking at previous examples and recent examples as well. Chera at the end of his fourth year, wasn't he, Riley, to join Carlton?
Yep.
Isaac Rankin at the end of his fourth year to join Adelaide. There is, we're talking about this a little bit earlier, there is a trend, and it will be interesting to see what the AFL's view about this is and if there are any mechanisms they can actually put in place to, if they see it as an issue. They might not see it as an issue. I'm not saying this is an issue, by the way, necessarily, but certainly clubs are feeling that more than ever players are putting their hand up for the national draft and then wanting to move for different reasons. We've seen Isaac Rankin after 4 years go from Gold Coast to Adelaide. We've seen Luke Jackson after 3 years go from Melbourne back to Perth. We've seen Tanner Bruin after 2 years go from Sydney back to Geelong. We've seen Ollie Henry after 2 years go from Melbourne to Geelong. Mm. And now Jason Horne-Francis from Melbourne to Adelaide after 1 year. Look, I think players are more emboldened by it, and I feel like there's an appetite more within the playing ranks to put your hand up and make moves. And Is that the player movement system that the AFL set out to achieve? Or is the draft as an equalisation tool maybe not as equalising as it was or previously prescribed to be? So that will be interesting in the aftermath of this year's trade period if the AFL and the league do see that as an issue, because we're seeing Richmond, we've seen Geelong for a long time now, contravene the conventions of list build the traditionalist model won it last year in Melbourne. They did the old-fashioned go through the draft, take the pain for 5 years, pick well, but then start adding the top line free agents and trades on top of that. Whereas Geelong this year have gone a different model, their own model, and that's a unique model that they can abide by virtue of their coastal nature and different means. So every club's different, but I know speaking to recruiters today that is there going to be an extra emphasis on picking homegrown talent wherever you are? And that becomes difficult, doesn't it, for the northern clubs, because you're not going to get the amount of players. The same for per capita, the South Australian clubs. Same for the WA clubs. We know that nearly 60% of the draft every year comes from Victoria. So there is an inequality, I think, in how things are playing out. Not saying, though, that the players are making necessarily the wrong decisions.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own motives and reasons, but on the whole, does the system need a look at?
It's going to be one to watch over the next 12, 24, 48 months or so.
48? We watch that one over the next 48 months?
Well, let's see what happens in the next 4 or 5 years. Sometimes these things take a while to... if there's going to be realistic change to how things... just take a long-term approach to it, Cal.
Hey, you said it Monday, October 3 at 12:27.
This is the Trade Exchange. Thanks to Repco Authorised Service for expert car service. Book into your local Repco Authorised Service Centre. We'll be back after this short break.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Engineered in Germany. Proven in Australia. Search Continental Tires today.
Hit the road with a 1-in-4 chance to win with the Monopoly game at Macca's.